The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, October 2nd through Sunday, October 8th, 2023. The commentary for the month of October was written by Catherine Nishibayashi, a fourth-generation member of St. Mary's Episcopal Church in Los Angeles and a graduate of the Church Divinity School of the Pacific. Prior to seminary, she spent 12 years as an elementary school teacher. When not busy with church activities, she enjoys reading, singing, and watching Dodgers baseball. The commentary for Monday, October 2nd, we're into the new month now, begins as follows. It's from the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 34. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. The commentary begins, "Good morning, this is God. I will be handling all your problems today. I will not need your help, so relax and have a great day." These words hung on the door of my grandmother's assisted living apartment. She saw them each time she left her private unit. When I visited her, I read those words, too. They offered a sense of comfort to me, and I imagine my grandmother also felt reassured by these words and the feeling that God would be with her throughout the day. The door sign was my grandmother's version of a mezuzah, the blessing box by the door of Jewish homes, as a reminder of God's constant presence. It is easy to become overwhelmed with all we need to accomplish in a given day and not appreciate each day for what it is, a gift. And now I'm going to read from the full passage of Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying about a single hour to your span of life, add to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow, is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear?' For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things, and indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today." And the moving forward suggestion is consider creating a similar sign with words of comfort and reassurance. Hang it on your door or mirror as a reminder to thank God for every day. The commentary for Tuesday, October 3rd, begins with a passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, verse 7, Ask, and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. I preached on the Luke version of this passage in July 2022. After church began, two visitors entered the sanctuary. After the service, one of the visitors told me how the sermon resonated with her. She had just had a conversation with her father, who told her to ask God for what she wanted and to go after opportunities that presented themselves. I had preached on a similar theme. Our omniscient God knows what we want or need without us saying a word. But our prayer life must be an active communication. God wants to hear the desires of our hearts and the dreams of our souls. Sometimes the answer to our prayer might not be what we want or expect, and sometimes it might seem like God puts an obstacle, like a closed door, in our path. We must discover what might be behind that closed door. An unexpected opportunity may be waiting. And now I'm going to read the full passage from Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 12. Do not judge so that you may not be judged. For with the judgment you make, you will be judged, and the measure you give will be the measure you get. Why do you see the speck in your eye and not notice the log in your neighbor's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your neighbor, let me take the speck out of your eye, while the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye. Do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample them underfoot and turn and maul you. Ask, and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for bread, will give a stone? Or if the child asks for a fish, will give a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? And the moving forward question for this day is, when was the last time you talked with God and expressed your heart's desire? Set aside time for prayer today. Now let's turn to the commentary for Wednesday, October 4th. It is the feast day of Francis of Assisi. We begin with a passage from the first book of Corinthians, chapter 8, verse 1. We know that all of us possess knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Here's the commentary. As an elementary school teacher, I sought to help students achieve their academic goals and increase their knowledge. But it was equally important to me to help them become good citizens and human beings. I would teach students the importance of showing respect to everyone in the school community and treating each other with care. At one Episcopal school where I taught, the chaplain ended each chapel service singing the words, "It's about love. That's what it's all about." As the children and teachers exited, at another Episcopal school, the students and teachers lived by the three R's: respect for self, respect for others, and respect for the world. On a daily basis, I watch these young people grow, academically, of course, but also in empathy toward others. Learning reading, writing, and arithmetic, the other three R's, is important. But cultivating love of self, love of neighbor, and love of God builds a foundation for a Christ-centered life. And now I'm going to read the full passage from the first book of Corinthians, chapter 8, verses 1 through 13. Now, concerning food sacrificed to idols, we know that all of us possess knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Anyone who claims to know something does not yet have the necessary knowledge, but anyone who loves God is known by him. Hence, as to the eating of food offered to idols, we know that no idol in the world really exists, and that there is no God but one. Indeed, even though there may be so-called gods in heaven or on earth, as in fact there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom all are things and for whom we exist, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we exist. It is not everyone, however, who has this knowledge, since some have become so accustomed to idols until now. They still think of the food they eat as food offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. Food will not bring us close to God. We are no worse off if we do not eat, and no better off if we do. But take care that this liberty of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. For if others see you, who possess knowledge, eating in the temple of an idol, might they not, since their conscience is weak, be encouraged to the point of eating food and sacrifice to the idols? So by your knowledge, those weak believers for whom Christ died are destroyed. But when you thus sin against members of your family and wound their conscience, when it is weak, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food is a cause of their falling, I will never eat meat, so that I may not cause one of them to fall. And now the moving forward question for this Wednesday, October 4th, is how do you balance knowledge and love? The commentary for Thursday, October 5th, begins with a passage from the book of Psalm 105, verses 1 and 2. Give thanks to the Lord and call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praises to him, and speak of all his marvelous works. After a few years of begrudgingly taking piano lessons as a child, I discovered the joy of singing and being part of a choir in middle school. I quickly became a choir geek. Singing became an integral part of my life, and over the years it has provided me with many transcendent moments where I felt close to the presence of God. I am the fourth generation of my family to attend St. Mary's Church in Los Angeles, founded in 1907 by Japanese immigrants. The St. Mary's Choir has a decades-long tradition of Christmas caroling at the nearby hospital. Every year I experience one or two God moments when our voices and God meet, singing Silent Night in the ICU as loved ones sign paperwork and say goodbye to a family member, or seeing patients peek out of their rooms as we sing to the nurses' stations. Music can bring people together and bring God closer to those whose lives music touches. And now I'm going to read the full psalm for today, Psalm 105, verses 1 through 22. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praises to him. Tell of all his wonderful works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Remember the wonderful works he has done, his miracles and the judgments he has uttered. O offspring of his servant Abraham, children of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He is mindful of his covenant forever, of the word that he commanded for 1,000 generations. The covenant that he made with Abraham, his sworn promise to Isaac, which he confirmed to Jacob as a statute, to Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying, "To you I will give the land of Canaan as your portion for an inheritance." When they were few in number, of little account, and strangers in it, wandering from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another, he allowed no one to oppress them. He rebuked kings on their account, saying, "Do not touch my anointed ones, do my prophets no harm." When he summoned a famine against the land and broke every staff of bread, he had sent a man ahead of them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. His feet were hurt with fetters, his neck was put in a collar of iron, until what he had said came to pass, the word of the Lord kept testing him. The king sent and released him, the ruler of the peoples set him free. He made him the lord of his house and ruler of all his possessions, to instruct his officials at his pleasure, and to teach his elders wisdom. And the moving forward question for this Thursday, October 5th, is, what songs remind you of God's presence? Listen to a few of them this week. You might even share them with a friend or two. The commentary for Friday, October 6th, begins with a passage from Psalm 107, verse 8. "Let them give thanks to the Lord for his mercy and the wonders he does for his children." I find when a phrase is repeated, like in today's psalm, it is a signal for me to pay attention. I figure that it must contain an important message that God is trying to convey to us in this moment. Maybe it is the equivalent of a child calling your name over and over to get your attention. In today's psalm, God uses repetition to call us to gratitude. Many of us express gratitude when given a gift or when a situation we were worried about turns out okay. But perhaps we are not as quick to express gratitude either to God or to another person when things are going well, or for the mundane things of life, such as, "Thank you, God, for bringing me home safely," or, "Thank you, God, that I have a job I love." We often encourage children to say thank you, but it seems harder to do as adults. We must remember to thank God continually, for God is everywhere and in everything. And now I'm going to read several different passages from Psalm 107. First of all, repeating the one we started with, Psalm verse 8. "Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to humankind." Now verse 15. "Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to humankind." Verse 21, "Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to humankind." And finally, 31, "Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to humankind." And now the moving forward question for this Friday, October 6th, is, who or what needs your thanks today? Express your appreciation to God and to others. The commentary for Saturday, October 7th, begins with a passage from 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 27. "But I know your rising and your sitting, your going out and coming in, and your raging against me." Here's the commentary. A common theme runs through today's readings, reminding us of God's constant presence in our lives and that God knows more about us than we know about ourselves. God understands that sometimes we might get mad and rage against what God is doing. In times of my life when I have been unhappy with an event or person, I have often wondered why God lets these bad things happen to me. Losing a job, struggling to find new employment, difficulty in a relationship. I remind myself of God's omniscience and constant presence in my life. One of my go-to prayers in times like these is from the Lord's Prayer, "Thy will be done." These four short words help me to remember to pay attention to what God wants for me in my life, and to view the challenging times as opportunities for growth. And I'm going to read from another one of the passages for today. This one is from the first book of Corinthians, chapter 10, verses 1 through 13. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them, and they were struck down in the wilderness. Now these things occurred as examples for us, so that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not become idolaters, as some of them did. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and they rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality, as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and we were destroyed by serpents. And do not complain, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. These things happened to them to serve as an example, and they were written down to instruct us, on whom the ends of the ages have come. So if you think you are standing, watch out that you do not fall. No testing has overtaken you that is not common to everyone. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tested beyond your strength. But with the testing, he will also provide the way out so that you may be able to endure it. And the moving forward question for this Saturday, do you tend to focus on the struggle? Offer a difficult situation in your life to God with these words, "Thy will be done." And as we reach the final day of this week and this program, let's turn to the commentary for Sunday, October 8th, the 19th Sunday after Pentecost. It begins with a passage from Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Like many of you, I have a lot of plates spinning in the air. Work, family, school, and church responsibilities all beg for attention. With commitments nearly every day, I cherish when I have some rare free time. On a recent empty calendar day, I ran a couple of necessary errands, but then spent the rest of the day hanging out on my couch, binge-watching a favorite TV show. I still had a bunch of stuff on my to-do list, but I decided to set those aside. I enjoyed a refreshing, much-needed day of rest. The next day, I felt rested and ready to tackle the list again. Rest is necessary for living. God knows we can't just keep going and going without time to refuel and refresh. Taking Sabbath time is so important that God elevated it to one of the Big Ten. How you spend your Sabbath time is up to you. Vegging on the couch, taking a long lunch with friends, reading a book, praying. The critical thing is reserving Sabbath time in our busy lives, remembering God wants us to rest so we can continue to do the work that we have been given. And now I'm going to read from the book of Exodus, chapter 20. Then God spoke all of these words, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth below, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for the iniquity of parents to the third and the fourth generation of those who reject me, but showing steadfast love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. Honor your father and your mother, so that your days may be long in the land that your Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or male or female slave, or ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. When all the people witnessed the thunder and lightning, the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, they were afraid and trembled and stood at a distance and said to Moses, "You speak to us and we will listen, but do not let God speak to us, or we will die." Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid, for God has come only to test you and to put the fear of him upon you so that you do not sin." Then the people stood at a distance while Moses drew near to the thick darkness where God was. And the moving forward statement for this Sunday, October 8th, block out an extended period for rest each week. And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory, and listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world. Knowing you are hearing us better than we're speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and all the holy names of God. I'm George Douglas. Thank you for joining me for Reflections Day by Day. This program is intended for blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service. Goodbye until next time.